listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's going to give us an update today on Lion One Metals. Welcome, Dr. Henning, and thanks so much for joining me again.
Thank you, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
It's always good to hear your voice, and it's always good to let our listeners know about the companies. Just a brief introduction here. Lion One Metals, the story's been told here several times in the past, but just for people that might not be familiar, it trades in Canada under the symbol LIO. LOMLF is the symbol you can buy it with in the States. 135.7 million shares, $1.25 in U.S. money a little while ago. Actually, $1.27 now as I look at the screen, and a very nice update for gold. It's a market cap of a little over $170 million in U.S. money. So, Quentin, last time, your view on Lion Mines, you had this view of Lion One's project there in Fiji. You saw it as an alkaline gold deposit, and these are very large projects. They're very large gold, high-grade gold deposits, and you mentioned they're about as rare as hen's teeth, I think is the way you put it.
Yep.
Your view was that that's what actually was there. There was a very high-grade, near-surface gold deposit that looked pretty economic, but it was kind of smallish. But you thought you saw something bigger, and lo and behold, it seems as though your vision of an alkaline deposit is panning out to be the fact. Can you give our listeners a little bit of what the company is planning now with its exploration and what it might be looking forward to and what investors might be looking forward to as we move into 2021?
Sure. Let me actually start with a recap and kind of give a little more detail to what you just introduced. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Tuvatu, which is the project, is in Fiji. Okay, yep. It's not far from Nandi, which is the large international hub there. It's, in fact, only about 20-minute drive from the international airport up to site. Okay, so it's a very good location. Most people don't realize, but Fiji is a gold mining center. There are there have been gold mines here, and the largest of which is the Vatukoula or the Emperor Mine, as it's called in the old days. And it's produced over 7 million ounces at this point. I believe it has another resource and reserve of, say, another 4 million ounces. So it is a 10-plus million ounce gold system. Mm-hmm. Right? These gold deposits, they form in association with what we call alkaline magmas. They're basically molten rock that had a lot of alkali metal, in particular potassium, dissolved in it. And these magmas can carry a lot of gold. So when they come up and they start cooling and crystallizing and so forth, the gold has to go somewhere. And the magmas actually dispel the gold. They flush the gold out. The gold gets concentrated into the fluids that come off the magma. And then they get those fluids and get introduced into the fractures above the magma chamber. So you can produce these wonderful high-grade deposits out of these systems. And that's what we have at Tuvatu. So the company, had drilled up a resource a bit under a million ounces, but it was, it's a pretty high-grade resource, and it's all within, say, 350 meters of surface. It's controlled by these narrow structural zones, which, again, are very high-grade. The little fractures that make up the structural zones often are insanely high-grade. Like, you can have percentages of gold in these tiny, tiny fractures. All right, so when I saw this, I realized, somewhere down in depth, there have got to be bigger versions of these fracture zones. And that's why we did the work we did last year. We did some geophysics and other techniques, and we targeted the deeper part of the system. We're effectively looking for the trunk or the thicker branches, we'll say, of the tree at depth. So to fast forward, we drilled one hole late last year. It a very nice interval, I believe about 4.3 meters of an ounce per ton. And then we you know, this year with COVID, it's been a bit of a challenge to operate, but we managed to drill yet another hole mid-year. I think it was July. We announced a hole where we hit abundant visible gold. When we got the assays back, it was phenomenal. I think it was, you know, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it was something on the order of, I believe, 12 odd meters of 56 grams per ton gold. It was just insane. That's not a bad result when you're drilling the deep target and you're using geophysics. Okay, so on the first hole of this target, we nailed it. Very encouraging. The company managed to raise some money on the back of that, and quite frankly, looking at the gold space in the past couple of months, that was a very good move. So Lion One is currently cashed up. It's got about $62 million in the bank. But now we have to lay the stage, you know, for what's to come. Like, how are we going to tackle this? All right, so the first thing that we started to do, we drilled some wedge holes after hitting that high grade. We drilled two wedge holes, the first of which hit high grade right away. We put those results out. We had several meters of, I believe, 85 grams or something like that. And then we drilled the second wedge. The second wedge, the drill broke down while drilling it, so it was a struggle. We didn't get to finish the entire hole, but we hit about 130 meters of interval where there was just one, you know, vein after another, like just boom, 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 the whole way down. There were a couple, I think two or three high-grade pops in there, but what we could tell is we were basically drilling straight down the hanging wall of the high-grade vein. So we were drilling, you know, sub-parallel to the high-grade vein, and we didn't go across it, but we knew that we were right, snuggle up right next to it. Which is fine, but that information then told us the orientation of the vein. That was really important. It, you know, we basically ascertained the thing is trending, call it northeast to north-northeast, and that then allowed us to decide how we're going to drill this thing going forward. Now, here's where it got interesting. So once we found out the thing is going kind of northeast-ish, the problem is if you drill it at an orthogonal angle, like you want to drill kind of straight at it, the hill to the east and southeast from this discovery is very steep. It like they go straight up. All right, so we realized that we could probably sneak a couple pads up there, and we did. We pushed a road up, and we put two drill pads kind of perched up on the toe of this cliff. But we realized, you know, pushing any further in that direction was impossible. So we looked at other ways we could drill the doggone thing, and the conclusion we came to was that we could drill it from underground. So there is a decline down the axis of the deposit, and the decline puts us in a position where we'll probably be drilling it from the north going to the south, or northwest going to the southeast. But it does allow us to drill across the darn thing. Okay, so we had, because that was the decision that we made to drill it from underground, we had to order some rigs. Yep. So we currently have two drills being manufactured. They'll be delivered over the next few weeks. And we're going to start drilling this thing from underground. Now, this is, it gives us three benefits. One is, that it saves us a lot of meters because if we're drilling underground, we're already closer to the target. Second thing is it allows us to drill at more favorable angles, you know, being a bit lower. It's not like we're sitting there trying to thread the needle from, you know, standing way above the target. We're actually closer to the target, so we can drill it at more favorable angles. And then lastly, it allows us to drill all year. Okay, the wet season is coming, and you know, there's a time when it's really difficult to work at surface. So by working underground, we should be able to you know, drill this thing all year, which is really, really good. I mean, that's the best outcome. So look, we're excited. We've had to revamp our exploration program, but we're excited about the fact that we'll now be able to drill this thing fairly aggressively. The two surface rigs that are operating right now are both drilling at the target. Okay, so I don't want people to think everything's offline. They aren't, actually. We've got two rigs right now that are in progress, and they're targeting the high grade. They're the two rigs that are perched up on the kind of the toe of the bluff. Okay, so were poking two holes down there. I think one rig's at 490 meters thereabouts. I think the target in that particular rig is about around 600, so we're getting close. And then the other rig is down a bit over 100 meters, I believe. And again, the target's about 600 meters, so it's a little ways out. But we should be able to cross that high-grade structure again here soon. I'm hoping we'll have some nice news around that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the separation from where we hit the high-grade initially is going to be significant, probably at least 50 meters. So it'll give us our first indication of what this high-grade thing is doing at depth.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That should be, and we might see some news how soon on that, Quentin?
If we hit the thing, the assay turnaround's pretty quick because the lab's right there in Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't take too long. I'd say once we go through the high-grade zone, presuming we do and we get assays, it shouldn't be more than 2 or 3 weeks out.
Mm-hmm. All right. And any idea of how many meters might be drilled, or what are we looking at for 2021?
Look, I think that's really open-ended at this point.
Okay.
Because we can drill underground, mm-hmm. can continually drill. I think it's basically going to be an ongoing exploration program from here on out. So, I wouldn't cap the number.
Great. All right. And then there is some talk of the company going into production at some point, because after all, it was a very advanced project. They have the permits, I think, to go into production. What are the plans right now on that?
Okay, so look, I'm not the best person to speak about it, but here's what I can say. I can say that the company is firstly looking at people to bring in. I think they're going to build up their team. They're looking at putting the decline in first. When that happens exactly, I don't have clarity on timing, but I would say they would start a decline, and at the same time, they would then start figuring out the rest of the plan around processing and so forth. Like designs and so forth. And then ideally, they would have everything come together, say, within the next couple of years to go ahead and get into production. Now, ideally, that decline should go down to the depth of this high grade. In other mm-hmm. words, now that we know the high grade's there, you might as well put put a few more turns in the decline and get down to that depth and be able to pull that in. So,
yeah. Well, that would be exciting. And so as you could just advance the decline further down towards the juicy good stuff and keep poking holes, I suppose, too, and drilling. And Oh, that's great. And how well financed is the company, Quentin?
The last count I heard, they had 63, and that was after purchasing the putting the payment down for the two rigs they're purchasing.
So they had 63?
Yep, $63 million.
$63 million. So that should do them okay for next year, I would think.
Easily. That's plenty of money.
Very good. Excellent. Well, there's a lot to look forward to here. Anything else? Is that pretty much it? We just have to keep watching, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, keep watching. I think, if everybody's thinking, hey, there's high-grade zone here and that's it, I don't think that's it. Okay, I think there's going to be multiple high-grade zones down there because the structure's certainly there. So, we got a lot. This is a story that's just beginning.
It's an alkaline deposit, and as you say, rare as hen's teeth, and when you find one, they're worth an awful lot more than hen's teeth. So,
exactly. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us. And the shares are up, I see, 6% today on a very strong day for the gold market. So, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Quentin. And we'll keep up with you in the future going forward. A very exciting story.
All right. Thank you, Jay.
All right. You bet. Well, okay, folks, we have to go to break, but don't go away because David McIlvaney of the McIlvaney Financial Companies will be with us. And David always has great insights on the markets and a lot more than that. So David will be right back with us right after the break. Don't go away.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
NV Gold Corp, trading under NVX on the TSX and NVGLF on the OTC, is a gold exploration company focused on uncovering the next multi-million ounce gold deposit in North America. With an aggressive exploration season ahead in 2020, a tight share structure, strong management ownership, key strategic investors including Eric Sprott, a globally recognized technical team, technical coverage from industry gold experts, and cash in its treasury. visit nvgoldcore.com to learn more on this exciting story.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.